And we're live!
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the newest edition of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I am Brian Ozone, and I am here with Aaron Johnson. Woo-hoo. And Andrew Kay has the night off. He's got to go to the dentist, and so we will have the show without him. Maybe he'll show up later. We'll see, but hopefully everything goes right. And so let's get the show going. And what's going on, Aaron? How's everything?
Everything's going pretty good, Brian. How about you, buddy? How's your week been?
Yeah, the week's been good, man. Some crazy stuff going on. Apparently GameStop came out with
with a boom out of left field.
Right. I mean, not only did they come out with just the regular He-Man, but they came out with the anti-Eternia He-Man for fairly decent price.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what was the anti-Eternia going for, $35?
Yeah, I think it was $35. Of course, Filmation He-Man popped up at $40. I did see a two-pack. I think there was a two-pack that showed up when I searched it. And that was, I want to say it was Terror Claws and maybe Flying Fist. So
really?
I think the price on that one was maybe $45.
Wow. That's decent, really decent prices for – I mean, I was just on eBay before, and the anti-Eternia, you know, is $60, $70, $80 a pop. So,
oh, yeah, and especially, like, if you look at Filmation He-Man, I mean, that thing has been a scalper's dream since the day we got it, just because, you know, they sold out so fast.
Right.
And now we've got some being injected into the market, and especially in a way that we didn't expect. So, absolutely interesting. I mean, that really was left field.
Yeah, I mean, because I had a friend of mine he sent me a message, and he's like, because I put feelers out there for the Loyal Subjects anti-Eternia He-Man, and I guess he got confused thinking that I needed the Classics version. So he's like, here you go, man, it's out there, you can get it cheap for $35. And I didn't, you know, I just read that without opening it up, and I was like, oh, Christ, here we go, thank God, you know? So, I got so happy. And then when I opened it up, I was like, oh, man, I got so sad because I already have two of them. You know, I always collect two of everything, one to open and
one to play with.
Yeah, and one to keep in its plastic shield. So, but I was kind of bummed out, man. I really am still looking for the Loyal Subjects anti-Eternia. But, I mean, it's a good thing for those that never got him. You know, go get him. Hurry up.
So the Loyal Subjects are out there as well?
Well, yeah, I saw one on eBay, but they wanted $300 for them. And
oh, yeah. The eBay prices, I mean, especially if you look at when the Flocked Beastman, when everybody was looking for the Flocked Red Beastman, prices on those, they started out, you know, they jumped up above the hundreds.
Right.
And it kind of came down in 90s and 80s. And I mean, I actually saw some completed listings at 80. So
Yeah. Now you can get now you can get them for a fairly decent price. I mean, I've actually every day I pretty much go on eBay and check out the Loyal Subjects because you know how people will put up things with different names and stuff like that, different descriptions. So I saw a few today that they had the Flocked Beastman and the non-flocked Red Beastman for like I think like $30 or $40.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, as time goes on, the prices come down, but the anti-Eternia He-Man is one of the most rare figures, I'd say. Like they really didn't make a lot of them.
So is that for the folks that are not familiar? I mean, I don't know who in the world is not familiar with Loyal Subjects at this point. But as far as the anti-Eternia He-Man, that I'm understand that was a 1 of 28, or is that a 1 in 28 chance? Or how does that?
No. It's got to be a lot more than that because.
Yeah, that's
it's probably 1 in 280 or even more than that. I don't know offhand the number, but
Maybe the fans can answer that because that's something. I mean,
It
says Club 28 on it, and I don't, you know, I'm not really sure what that indicates myself.
Right. No, it's definitely one of the harder ones to get. The hardest one to get is definitely the Golden He-Man. He is the rarest.
Yeah, you're going to sell a child and possibly a kidney
if you're
getting a hold of the Golden He-Man.
Right.
It's like the golden ticket, bro. You're not going anywhere with that He-Man.
Exactly. So it's the Willy Wonka He-Man at home, and then you got the anti-attorney He-Man, and then under that, I think it would be Faker. Even Faker's price is still high, man. He's still like 150, 200. He's still going really high. And then I believe the newer version of Teela.
Yeah, the pink Teela.
The pink Teela, she's pretty pricey still. So they're you know, and then the Flock Beast Man, of course, is up there too. So, but you know, all in time, bro. You know, if you just wait, if you wait a year or whatever, you'll get them for so much cheaper. I mean, if you're one of those guys that need to have it right away, and
I don't necessarily have to have it, you know, right in my hands. Sometimes I get a little, you know, on the edge, and I want to pull the trigger on stuff and jump on it pretty quick because I don't know how long it's going to be out there. But I mean, like you were talking about with this Faker, I was looking back at some of the prices there that have completed on Evil Bay, and it, I mean, just ridiculous, man. $200, $148, $155. So he's all over the board, $239, yeah. $144. So it's definitely a sought after piece, but I don't know for me if that's something that when it comes in at a $12 price point,
right?
You know, originally, I don't know that I mean, I understand rare, but
yeah, it kind of gets annoying. For the fact is that, you know, the guy selling it is going to make a, you know, it's a $5,000 profit on it, you know, 5,000 time profit on it, which kind of really, you know, hurts.
But I mean, and maybe that's what makes it fun. I don't, you know, as far as chasing these things, because they truly are chase figures. So
right,
if you're that person who buys the whole case at Walmart, at which I'm definitely guilty of, and
I've done it. Yeah.
Bring it home and you start digging through it and you get three or four in and you're like, Triclops, Triclops, Triclops.
Right.
And then you go, right. Oh, boom, here's, you know, pink Teela. It definitely makes your day a little better because you know that I may recover my money on those three Triclops, you know?
Right, right. But then you're still stuck with so many doubles and triples, and it is quite annoying. And then you don't get, you know, you're not going to get the anti-attorney He-Man or Faker. So it kind of, you know, it's kind of a downer. I mean, I can't lie. I actually went out and bought Faker, but I got him for under $100. I think I got it for like $65.
Well, you did fine, man. I mean, I just think when you get into the astronomical prices, like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, dude, if that gold He-Man were to pop up and it wasn't being destroyed by Sid, you know, the kid on Toy Story, if somebody's not just absolutely destroying this thing, because I feel like that's what's happening. Some kid is just dragging this golden He-Man across the ground. I know right. it. I have nightmares about it.
Yeah. Well, you see, something like that, like, yeah, if it's on eBay, if it does make its way on eBay, something like that, you really need to see, first of all, I think the guy would be smart enough to get it authenticated because
– sure.
I mean, you can ask for a pretty hefty amount of money for it. But at the same token, someone like me, I want to make sure that if I'm handing over a good amount of money, I want to make sure that this thing is 100% real. I don't want a really good customized paint job that's going to pass as a real figure until you get the thing and it's a custom.
Oh, yeah, I'd feel like there would absolutely have to be some sort of certificate of authenticity.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we talked about it last week. You know, the box opens up and, like, streamers blow out. I mean,
right.
This has got to be, like, the craziest box to ever be opened. So.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, that thing is going to have to be, like, I mean, like, what is that? The sweepstakes when Ed McMahon and them come to your front door?
Yeah, man, they come knocking on the door. Actually, what I envisioned is when I open this box, because I'm going to be the one to open, when I open it, I'm going to take open the top, and angels are going to descend down out of heaven, and harps will start playing. I mean, there will be some holy music when that opens.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's – we don't know where it is. I would like to think that it's still out there somewhere, because that's a lot of fun in the chase, is just trying to find that. And I'm definitely guilty of buying into that the way that the little subjects have done it with the blind bags or the blind boxes. So, you know, I'm good with it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it hasn't showed up yet because nobody has claimed to get it. And so I don't know if they actually did make one or if someone has it and they're just playing it safe and not letting anybody know they have it and have it in a safe somewhere.
Well, I can tell you this, nobody in any of our groups has it because if they did, they would already let everybody know they have
Right. Oh yeah.
it.
Oh, without a doubt, they'd be boasting like crazy.
Oh yeah, man, that's the one piece you could definitely show that off.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a great addition to anybody's collection. I mean, yeah, you know what though, to me, I have a feeling that's gonna go to some punk kid that is in Walmart one day and he's walking down the aisle with his parents and, oh, I want this, I want this, and they get it and he opens it up and has no clue what the heck it is, and
Absolutely.
eventually
Yeah, that's absolutely what's going to happen.
And the kid doesn't do anything with it for a couple of days, weeks go on, and then the mother or father decides to throw it out because it's nothing more than a paperweight. Meanwhile, it's a $1 million toy that just chucked in. It kills a million collectors' dreams.
Well, maybe over time, maybe when this kid gets like us and gets up into his 30s and, he starts investigating some of his childhood collection and by then the value has just built so crazy on this thing because nobody ever found it. So he
Really.
just cashes in on a dream.
Yeah. But you know, I really wish that I think Andrew would be better at this question. I mean, I don't know how long this wave has been out now, but I'm sure it's been out now for a couple of months.
Oh yeah, we're definitely well into that.
I have to believe that it's definitely someone had to have gotten it by now.
I don't
If
know. I know
I
we've got Paul Rudman in the chat, I think. Is he still in there? Dirt, do we still have him?
Yes, he's still in there. In fact, he was just talking about how the kicker is you can get the Masters of the Universe Loyal Subjects figures on eBay, the non-chase ones, for the same price and sometimes cheaper than paying the blind box price at
Oh
Walmart.
yeah.
So
Oh
you end up
yeah.
getting the one that you want
Yeah.
because people, they're just buying them trying to get the chase figures, so they're just dumping them out on eBay.
Oh,
Yeah,
without a
man,
doubt.
that's an awesome
That,
point because I mean the
yeah.
truth is you get to pick. I mean there is no blind at that point and that's kind of awesome because if I'm looking for that particular figure, then I definitely don't mind to pay, roughly about what they're going for if that's one that I
Right.
need.
Right. Yeah. Like I bought a box. Well, I bought a few of them, and the one box I bought, I think I only got one character out of, I don't even know how many come in, it's 16 or 12 or 20. I don't remember, but I only needed the one out of all of them. So the rest of them I just got rid of in trades or whatever, because I didn't need them. And it was a shame,
Well, we've done the same thing. I mean, in a lot of cases here with the Waffle Mafia, we've kind of tried to share the love on those things because we had a lot of extras and we've tried to give them away as consolation prizes and that kind of thing. But the reason I brought Ruddy into it, I figured that Rudd would probably know round about how long we've been into this wave because I think he was one of the first that were jumping in there and collecting those and or maybe his focus is more the Dorbs, but. With this, I think he was kind of on the tail end of that or on the lead end of that, so he might know how long those have been on the shelves. I'm not sure.
Yeah, see, like I said time and time again, the Walmart here in New York City, they suck. They're tar they are not nowhere near compared to what everybody else in the country gets. Their toy section is so diminished. It's one aisle both sides, and then you got to incorporate the toddlers, the children, the girls section, and then the boys all within this one little aisle. And it's I don't even bother going to it because they never get anything relevant at all. So it's a sad thing because you get to hear all these great stories of people around the country and the world going to Walmart and picking stuff up and getting things, and it's here it's we don't get any of that stuff. It really sucks.
We've got two very big, or go ahead, Doug.
I was just gonna say, Paul Rudman posted, first of all, Aaron, he does not like the Dorbs. He just wants to make that very clear.
I'm with you, brother. I'm not a Dorb fan either.
I'm sorry, Rudd.
But he thinks they've been probably about 3 or 4 months that the waves have been in stores.
Okay, yeah,
Okay.
I thought they had been out there for a minute, so
Yeah, that sounds right.
yeah, to your point, Brian, it's here, as far as if obviously if you can tell by my accent, we are in the deep south. So
what accent?
Come on, guy. No, we're back in the woods, man. So our Walmart stuff, we got two big Walmarts in the area, but the stuff comes in on covered wagon and it's just takes forever to get here. So, you know, I do see a lot of stuff coming in, hits in the Midwest before it hits us. And, you know, so we're on the tail end of that, but I rely more on the groups to tell me, you know, this is going on. And that's kind of what happened with the Filmation He-Man yesterday. It was like, I got a couple notifications, and man, I'm super thankful to everybody who shares those things, because, you know, you jump in there and you see that you've got a notification about something that's crazy happening. You're trying to do it quick because you want to get it before it's gone. But I appreciate everybody staying on their toes with it and sharing it in the group so that, you know, some folks can get their hands on them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's always a good thing when people share the wealth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what this property is about, that I feel like, a lot more so than others. I mean, not to down anything that anybody else likes, but I feel like Masters fans do seem to want to share that love with all the other Masters fans, and want you to have this for your collection, and you have this for your collection, and that's awesome, man. That's how it should be.
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel the love. I think people do tend to stick together in this community. I don't think there's much jealousy or trying to hold back from others to complete the collection. I mean, even going back to the 2000X series, I remember back in the day, you know, people always saying, if you go to this Walmart down in Toledo or this Walmart down in whatever, Cleveland, you know, whatever, this Toys R Us, blah, blah, blah. They got these guys, this guy. So, I mean, I remember everybody always helping each other out, and it's always a good thing, because it helps the community, man, because it makes it more fun, you know, and we all stick together and give each other help. I really appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, that was a cool thing that was happening yesterday. I mean, I don't know if anybody else felt it, but me personally, I mean, when I started seeing those posts going up and everybody talking, I mean, there was an absolute buzz going on. And that is the thing that I think I love the most about the way that we're getting Masters right now. I mean, yeah, I would like to see new stuff out there every day, but it doesn't happen. But
right.
Boy, when it does, people get really excited, and they start sharing the wealth, and people are talking in the room, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the group. I really like that, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You definitely can't beat that. It's always something good to look forward to, because, again, nobody's holding back. Everybody's trying to help each other out. It's a good thing to do. I really appreciate stuff like that. I like that people help each other out. It gives everybody a fair chance to get to finish the collection or finish what they want to get.
So with that said, let me ask you this, and you may know, we kind of kicked around the idea of talking about this topic, but I didn't really clear it with you if this was something that you had any insight on. But as far as PowerCon, I know you're going, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're picking up your stuff through the attendee prices. Yeah. Is that right?
Oh yeah. I spent $670 on Saturday.
Okay. So for the folks who are not going and the folks who are not familiar with how that process works, walk us through Brian Ozone's experience as far as what you will do and how you'll get your stuff. What did you spend?
Well, what I had to do was I had to buy my ticket. I bought only a Saturday ticket because my plane arrives Saturday morning and I leave Sunday morning. So I only bought Saturday's pass for Saturday.
Okay.
Which I think was like $25 if I'm correct. All right. So I did that. Then I bought two each of the three packs.
Okay.
So I got four packs altogether. Then I bought I bought one set of the Earl Norm. I have no idea what the heck it is.
Oh my goodness. Is that available already?
Yeah, I bought it.
That is a PowerCon exclusive, right?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So if I understand correctly, that is a collection of Norm's artwork, his Master's artwork.
Yes, I don't know what's included. I don't know if it's the posters from the magazine. I don't know exactly what it's covered or what it's entailed, but I did buy Sorry, I did buy one set.
Yeah, that's now if I understand correctly, that was fairly expensive. I don't know what the
Yes,
price tag was
yes.
on it, but I think that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, it had to be over $100 because, like I said, I bought one ticket was 25. Each of the toys, I think, was $1.25. So I bought four of those. So that's 500 for four packs. So I'm at 425. And then I bought a t-shirt, which is probably another $20, $25. So that's 525. And again, I spent $670. So it's 150 something dollars for that Earl Noam thing, I believe.
So if I'm a non-attendee, is that the same price that's going to be extended to me other than shipping, or do I pay different?
I don't I think how it works is you have to buy I think they make you buy a ticket like you're going and you buy the stuff the same price as what I would pay for, and then you just got to pay for the shipping.
Okay, I got you.
So it's pretty much the same as going, you're just not going.
So here is some info on the Norum piece. So this is Earl Norum premium print set. Attendees and exhibitors. This premium print set includes 30, over 30, 11x17 prints of Earl Norum Masters of the Universe artwork. So
Awesome.
it's
Awesome.
$200 a set. They're limited to just five per attendee, so obviously there's going to be a pretty limited number of these things out there.
That's cool. That's very good. I mean, something like that should have some type of cutoff because you want that to be kind of an exclusive. You really don't want that many of them out there. You want, see, I'm a firm believer in exclusives for cons because you really should be attending these things to actually get the things. I do agree with how PowerCon is doing it. I like the fact that they're letting all fans, if you can't make it, to get it. I think that's really cool. But I mean, like even Andrew was saying that time when he tried to get that book at San Diego, he was online or next to get it online, and they sold out, which that's got to be the worst because you're waiting online for hours on end to get something, and then as soon as it's your turn, they're like, "Whoops, we don't have any more. Sorry." So,
Oh yeah, no, that would be terrible.
you wasted like 6 hours, 5, 4 hours, or sometimes, I know guys that slept overnight to get a bracelet, to get not even a guarantee to get a toy or get into the place, just slept overnight to get a bracelet to get. To then wait on another line to be able to get something. So it's like that blows my mind. I don't like to do any of that stuff. If I know I definitely can't get it, I don't even bother with it. So
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would want to get in a line, and especially if I waited that long and then I came up and they were out. I mean, that's gonna really dampen that experience for me. So I don't know. I might wait for aftermarket on some of that stuff. I mean, I know the prices. I think the prices on some of these exclusives are going to be through the roof. So.
Oh yeah, but if you wait a year from now or 2 years from now, you'll get it for less than exactly what it's for. I mean, again, the three packs I think go for $1.25. If you give it a year or so, I'm sure you'll get it for a lot less than that because people have it laying around, they just want to get rid of it.
I don't
But
know. The thing that worries me about that, though, is the fact that if what I'm understanding is correctly, as far as the way Super 7 is going to go about it concerns me that we're not going to have enough actually be created, because the idea being that they're creating
Oh,
X
yeah,
amount
you're right.
and then enough for stock. So what I'm really worried about is if I don't get in and get my skin in the game in the beginning, that I may miss out.
Well, you also got to remember they have to make customer stock for their stuff that's ruined and
Sure,
destroyed and
sure,
stuff like
sure.
that. So, I mean, you always have that opportunity. But then again, just get the non-attendee stuff if you're really that concerned. Again, you're not paying that much more. You just got to pay a couple of bucks to whatever they're charging, for like a ticket, it's $25.
Yeah.
And get the three pack for the regular price. I mean, that's what I would do. I think
I like it. I mean, that works. That works for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you won't be in a doghouse, you know?
Oh, man, I don't know. My Masters of the Universe bill lately has been astronomical because I've gotten into a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have gotten into.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
I just purchased a pretty large lot that I got for the group, just some stuff that I want to give away. Of course, it's classics and then some other stuff. I got a plush Havoc staff and some nice plush swords and nice weapons racks, weapons packs. Right. Just, I don't know, man. We've had a real good time with it here lately. We've been giving away some cool stuff. I've got some bobbleheads and just some of that con stuff that I got a couple little con things that were laying around. So I picked those up and man, just it's going to be a minute before Mama okays any more Masters purchases at the moment.
Yeah. But if you're a collector, dude, definitely get those three packs. They're definitely worth getting.
They're beautiful, man.
Not even like money wise, you know, not looking to make money off of them in the future, just to have.
No. I mean, they would definitely be something I would want in my collection. And then as far as the group, I mean, I do love to get my hands on at least one of everything and try to give it to the group. There's only a couple that I haven't done, and that three pack would definitely, because that's, mini comics. That's my heart is the mini comics, and when they announced that, I'm telling you, dude, that was like dream come true for me.
Yeah, I mean, that Stratos is just amazing. The green trap jaw. And the accurate Prince Adam, he's not in the pink. I mean, for sure, it's definitely a great three pack to have.
Now, let me ask you this: have you seen? And I bring this up because you were talking about that particular three pack. That three pack has Stratos in it.
Yes, it does.
Okay, and it's the flesh colored Stratos. Yeah. I don't know if you saw. There's some pictures floating around. I think it hit Masters of the Galaxy's page. If not, I'll get it on there. But
okay.
There's a fellow out there. His name is Matt Walford.
Okay.
And Matt is a member of my group and a couple other groups, and he's posted the pictures out there. I know we can probably find them, but he's hand painting the vintage figures. Have you seen these?
I don't know.
Man, I tell you, if Dirt is okay with it, I'd go over to video for just a second just to show you guys. Man, it's absolutely glorious. I've got one that he's done that we're going to do in the group, but you cool with that, Dirk?
I don't know. Are you wearing clothes? Because I mean, if you're wearing pants, the answer is no.
You can only see me from the waist up, so we're good. I got my Battle Cat shirt on, but yeah, we'll kick it over here just real quick, and let me show this guy off. So here's what we're looking at.
Okay.
Brian, I don't know if you can see him.
I see him.
Man, absolutely glorious paint job on this thing that this guy's doing. And he's painting these vintage figures and did it for the group. And we're gonna give it away. He repairs them and he recasts them if there are issues. So there was actually an issue with this. It's been the whole thing's been recast.
Okay.
So yeah, just look at that actual flesh tone. We were talking about that as far as with the three pack that's coming out, and he was like, "Hey, you know, is there any particular one that you would want me to do for your group?" And I was like, "Oh, absolutely, man, do Stratos." So he did that, and it turned out pretty cool. But
the new one has the Zangief little hair, chest hair. If you
yeah, he's also got the that neck piece. Yes. That sculpt for that neck piece is beautiful. So that's is that something? It was one of the mini comics, I think, that he had that chess piece.
I think the original drawings he did. Yeah.
Okay. You know, and was that the box art or was that the?
I think so. It was the box art. Yeah, like the Castle Grayskull box art.
Yeah, man.
Stuff like that, like the early, the real early box art where he was when he was supposed to be evil. But yeah, I mean, they really did a great job on that three pack. It's been a long time coming, and even with the 2000X, they did the green trap jaw. But again, it was in the 2000X version. I really, really was hoping for the classics version because
They did a mini comic of that. They did a mini comic version of 2000X.
Yeah. I got them. Yeah.
Oh man, I would definitely like to check that out. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, they did. They that's when they started doing all the wacky mecha neck. He was brown and tan and
is that where Disco came from? Is that where we got Disco? Abomination known as Disco Skeletor?
Yeah. All those crazy repaints.
Abomination? Are you ready to get kicked off the show?
I knew I was gonna get it.
That's when they did all the those weird color variations.
Yeah, man, it's been nice knowing you guys. I'd get Doug going.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I really dig the acid trip Skeletor, Disco Skeletor. I really like it.
And there's a couple of things that I've seen out there where there's been repaints on his colors, and I like some of that iridescent stuff and the stuff. Yeah, it's cool looking.
Yeah, but like I said, when they did the Mechaneck one, was just ridiculous. There was no need for that.
I know there was a repaint on it, but I don't recall it.
It was hideous. It was so hideous.
So he's brown?
Yeah, he had brown and yellow tannish color. If you Google it, he'll pop up.
Yeah, I'm on it.
They did that. I think they did a repaint of they did the inverted colors of Too Bad. I think they did a Merman.
That brown is hideous.
Oh yeah, they did Ram Man. They did quite a few different repaints. But that was like the end of the line, you know. That was when it was coming to the end. That's when the spin blades came out, and
yeah,
the demise of KBs and stuff like that. So,
well, I think we talked about too. I mean, as far as the way that the market got flooded with variants, it really just, you know, there were too many. So,
but again, look at the variants that they did. Look at that Mechaneck. It's terrible. Who the heck wanted that?
You know? Right, right.
I mean, I was a completist, but I saw that and I was like, the hell with this. And then also, if you remember, they had Sky Strikes He-Man, and then they changed the name to Shield Strike He-Man. It was the same exact figure, same exact weapons.
Licensing issues or name issues, I'm sure.
Yeah, they just changed the name. It was ridiculous. It was something like it was completely not needed. They, I don't know what road they were going through, but I remember when they first did the 2000X, Jeremy Padawar. I hope I'm saying his name. That guy was great. He was pro Masters. He fought for Masters. He was a fan. And then honestly, I don't remember what happened. I don't know if Mattel fired him, got rid of him, or if they changed, they made him a project manager for a different line. But after he left, that's when all the goofiness started. And it was unfortunate because he was the one that was really doing the right thing for Masters. He was the one that helped out and really, you know, he was in touch with the fans. You know, he really helped out.
Well, it's always good to have somebody who's passionate about, you know, the property. And I think that's one of the things that gives me just blind faith in Super 7, because I know that Brian is such a huge, you know, fan of the property. So as long as you've got somebody behind it driving it that really cares about it, that's cool with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Brian Flynn seems like he's on board and he's a fan, and he's looking out for the best interest for all of us and the fans, which is very cool, because that's what you need. You don't need another MattyCollector.com. That's just putting product out there, just to put it out there. You need somebody that's passionate and knows what the fans want and listens to the Four Horsemen, because the Four Horsemen themselves are fans, and they're out for the best interest for us, and they're looking to make all the different Filmation spells things of that nature. And you know, I was having a chat with a friend the other day about that new book coming out that's over 700 pages. And in this new book that's coming out, they're actually going to have the spells that they used in all the Filmation.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
To get that deep into the canon, to go as far as naming the spells and what they do and the origins of them, I mean, that's just that's just beyond craziness in my book.
Well, I mean, honestly, man, I like the idea, though, because it's kind of like Lord of the Rings. I mean, if you look at that property and you look, it spawned a language, and all of those things are recorded, the Elvish, the language that was spoken. And, you know, I don't want to go too far into that because I don't know that much about it. But I just know that as far as that world is massive. So I think Masters has that same kind of world. I mean, Eternia, we don't know the breadth and scope of Eternia and what all's out there, but what we do know, we could definitely record and you know, those spells and just unique little details like that, and even some of the card back storylines and that kind of thing. I mean, I know I'm not the world's biggest fan of the bios, but
I'm with you.
There are pieces, there are bits and parts that I feel like, you know, add to the canon, add to the uniqueness of the story, and we need to record them so we have them.
Right. Well, I also believe that they took a lot of those bios. They took a lot of the relics and spells and stuff that we already known from, you know, the past cartoons, comics, and whatnot, and twisted and turned it into what they wanted to incorporate into the new storyline, the new bios.
Sure.
Did it work? I don't think so. I think that the fans knew and know what's real, and they're not so happy with the direction that a lot of it went to. That's why I believe the last year or so, there were no bios in the back of the cards. It was basically just the new figures coming out.
Well, I mean, maybe our crowds were heard, just the fact that, you know, nobody really liked them. But
I mean, like that too. I mean, because – and in all honesty, a lot of them were a bunch of crap. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, it just didn't work. I mean, again, I'm trying to word this correctly. You're set in stone for something for 30 years, and then somebody decides to make a bio, and you kill off Stratos. I mean, character.
Yeah, no, we can't have any of that. I mean, there was some of that stuff that I definitely took issue with. I mean, create an amazing gladiator who is the most amazing gladiator of all time, who, you know, in Vicron, and then he gets torn in half. I mean,
exactly.
What are you doing, bro? I don't need him to be torn in half. I need him to be the greatest gladiator ever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, stuff like that, I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, if you're going to kill somebody, or you're going to, you know, and not even kill somebody, even if you're going to hurt somebody, just, you know, make it like a B or C character. You know, you don't go for Stratos or Sweepy or whomever else they killed. I mean, you know, there was a time where I just stopped reading the bios. I just couldn't deal with it no more. But to me, that in its own fact is just stupid. It's just completely ridiculous.
I agree, man. I mean, I do. There's a lot of it that I don't agree with at all. And, you know, I thought about this. Maybe what if it was like this? What if we got a new mini comic line? I'm a huge fan of the mini comics. That's like one of my most favorite things in the world. What if we got a new mini comic line? And I think when you put it into a comic book and it's a one shot kind of in your mini comic telling, you know, and going along with the characters that we have, but it's telling a story, I think you can get out there and do some different things. And I think you can make some things like that happen where you want to tell a little bit different story. But I don't think just writing a bio and saying, hey, this is set in stone and this is what happened, I don't think you can do that. I think some of the best parts of the mini comics were, you know, oh my gosh, in this one, this is what's happening. Oh my gosh, in this one, that is what's happening. So it was different little stories that, you know, you got into, and they kind of finished the story and it was done.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, I think that with the, if they do decide to do more mini comics, I think they should really, keep it to the storyline that we know already. You can elaborate. You can incorporate new characters.
Sure.
You can even elaborate on older characters and go in depth and maybe, you know, change the storyline a little bit. But to completely change everything that we already known for 30-plus years and kill off characters that are beloved to so many people, to me, I don't agree with that. I think that's just not right, and I think it's wrong. Because I know there's plenty of people out there that are in love with Stratos, that he might actually be their favorite character. And, you know, here you go. You read a bio. Oh, he's dead all of a sudden, which, I mean.
No.
Yeah, no. Right. I mean, that's a blow, man. That really sucks, man. That's like, you know, just a little paper cut and you're just sticking lemon juice in it. And
I reject your reality and I insert my own.
Right.
Yeah, I have no interest in this. Stratos dying. No, I don't know, man. I just like the way it was done originally. I think that was – even the way it was marketed in with the minis and the way the story was told. Like you said, we can redo it. We can tell new stories. But as long as we stay along the lines of, I think, what has become acceptable –
Right. Yeah, what we know, you know, it's very hard, and not even just Masters, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats, whatever you want to say. It's very hard to all of a sudden alter reality and change everything because, you know, you're writing the new bios. And to be honest with you, I have yet met a person that agrees with that the bios are solid cement and set in stone and they are the new canon. I've not yet met somebody that agrees with that. I definitely
feel that way. So
I do too. Like when I first started getting the figures, I would love to read them to see, you know, what they had in store, and then it just became ridiculous. You know, everybody was related, and King Grayskull took over the role of hero, and I just didn't agree with any of it. To me, it was just like 30 years of all this knowledge is completely shot. And the best thing about it was, and nobody brings this up, is how Tralla was such a big part of everything. The sword of he came from there, and blah blah blah, and.
Yeah, there's always been a tie to Tralla, even from the very early, you know, stuff. There's always been a tie to Tralla and magic, and but
no, that's not where everything came from. You know, like no, the sword of he came from Castle Grayskull, where the sorceress was holding
guarding
that weapon until the next He-Man came about, so she could pass the weapon to him. And the secrets of this of Castle Grayskull, and yada yada yada, but that's not what we got.
So let me ask you this: do you reject the two halves of the Power Sword telling?
Absolutely not. I am a advocate for the two halves of the Power Sword. I think that was a great storyline, and I think that should have still been incorporated. Or somewhat incorporated until the fact that He-Man did bring both halves of the swords together, created the Power Sword, and has it as a whole sword now.
Yeah, and that's what I like your thought of it being protected within Castle Grayskull, but I also like some of the early tellings of the way that was. It was a balance between good and evil. Okay,
yes. So.
Right. You had the dark half, the light half, but when the two halves come together, then you can open the ancient secrets within Castle Grayskull and drop the Jawbridge. So I like that, and then maybe along with that, hey, after I have joined them and it has become the Power Sword at that point, when this adventure ends, I give it back until it's needed again. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, that could be a storyline in itself, but I don't know where all of a sudden the storyline of the two power swords, the two halves of the power swords, stopped. It was like forgotten. Maybe with Filmation coming along, the mini comics just changed and that whole storyline was diminished, unfortunately. Because to me, I thought that was a really cool way of telling the story because you had Skeletor looking for the good half, and you had He-Man looking for the evil half.
Right.
And both of them were trying to unify the Power Sword to get into Castle Grayskull or unleash the secrets.
Yeah.
And again, somewhere down the line, it was just that storyline was just gone.
Yeah, I guess when we got into Filmation, I mean, it's kind of tough to have the two halves of the power sword in that, because you want the main character, He-Man, your hero, you want him to have the most powerful thing. And in
right.
order for him to have that, he has to have that sword in its whole. He can't
Agreed.
Have
Agreed.
Half. So I understand moving away from it. It makes sense. But, you know, I do like that concept, because I think it's a cool concept. Especially, there's one scene in the minis, and I just think it's an awesome scene where He-Man throws the sword back down, and it sort of goes into the earth.
Okay.
Because the sword is hiding itself again, and you know, or the half of the sword.
Yeah.
So right. let me see. I was going to try to find that, but. Anyway, sum it up, bring it back around. What we were talking about the difference in minis and the bios and that kind of thing. And real quick, we were going to talk about one mini this week and sort of get that out there and chat about it. So you want to talk about Dragon's Gift?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this was probably one of the more, I would say, humanized story, because it's actually it's more or less a storyline that's built on humanity, because you are doing what's right for the cause of good. Basically the story is that Skeletor comes and he's trying to cast a spell on, I believe, Marlena. Or the king, I forget which one.
He's going to give the amulet to Randor. So
to Randor, okay. So
that's where we're starting at.
Right, right. He wants to crystallize the king. Somehow, Man at Arms figures out that it's Skeletor, and he gets the amulet and turns to a crystal, and he has a certain amount of time until he pretty much dies or.
Remains crystal forever.
Right, right.
I would imagine.
So, in that case, they need to seek out Granimir. They come up with the idea to seek out Granimir, the oldest, wisest wizard, dragon on Eternia. So, He-Man, Teela, and Battlecat venture out to find Granimir, and they do. And Granimir sends them on a quest to find the Sky Tree and chop it down and kill it, essentially, and bring it back to Granimir for Granimir to bring Man-at-Arms back to life.
Yeah, and I think that is a super interesting part of the mini, and that's where it takes the turn in what you're talking about, the humanity part of it, because He-Man, it's the first time that we actually see him faced with a decision where he has to take a life to save a life. And I
correct. Correct.
I know that within the hero that we know, and the guy that, you know, how he feels about the respect of this ancient tree. And then we've got the fact that I've got to save my friend, you know, Duncan. So,
right.
Beyond that, of course, we don't really need to get in, I guess, to what decisions are made and that kind of thing. I mean, if anybody wants to read it, they can. But there were a few cool points that I wanted to bring up about this, because we talked about it, and the Filmation episode is a little bit different. So there is Dragon's Gift, which is the mini.
Right.
And then we have The Dragon's Gift, which is the Filmation
cartoon.
Episode.
Right.
And so I know, you know, what right off the bat, what's one glaring difference between the two?
The colors of Granimir.
Sure. Okay. So we got a green Granimir in the mini version. And then in the show, we have red Granimir.
Red. Right.
And of course, that's why we have the two different versions of Granimir. So that's pretty cool, too.
In the classics toys. Right.
I thought it was interesting that when we got into the actual Filmation episode, Granimir had a line that I thought was really interesting, and he said, "Dragons can't concern themselves with the lies of legends." And when they're talking about He-Man, and so he has heard of He-Man, and he knows who He-Man is.
Right.
But he is so great and wise and powerful that dragons can't concern themselves with the lies of legend.
See, now the thing with that is that he may not know that the Atom He-Man, he may know of the past He-Man.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And
that brings me to another point. I'm glad you said that, because in the show, it actually says Skytree is talking to He-Man, and he tells him that there's always been a man at arms.
Right.
So we were having this discussion about man at arms, and is he from a line of men at arms? And then that kind of ties to the bows. Was he trained by Decker and, you know, all this madness? But I thought it was interesting when I went back and got to looking at the mini. It actually says, and it doesn't say there has always been a man at arms, but when they are talking to Granomir, or when they're talking to Skytree, he says, Teela says, "We come to seek your aid. My father, man at arms, may die if we don't get a spell from Granomir." And they come up and say, he goes on to say, "Many centuries ago, man at arms' ancestors spared my life."
Right.
So, you know, obviously that wasn't man at arms.
No.
So who are his ancestors? Who are these? Are they green skinned people, as we talked about once before? And if you look at the beginning of Dragon's Gift and look at man at arms' hands, now we call this out because this was part of our discussion about this.
Yes.
If you look at his fingers, you can see his fingernails, and they are green.
Really?
So, yes. Uh-huh. They make it a point to show that he has fingernails, but his hands are green. So
right.
I don't know, man. We'll keep arguing that point.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be an ongoing discussion here on this podcast. But the thing with that is that I can see that throughout time, man at arms was kind of like maybe say like a general of the palace guard. You know what I mean? Like there was always. There was always a man at arms. Like Decker was the man at arms before Duncan, and Decker taught Duncan to be the man at arms when Decker retired. So,
and we also see Clamp Champ later on. So
yeah, exactly. So I mean, it gets passed on. The title gets passed on and on and on. So you know, it's many centuries ago when Skytree had his first encounter with a man at arms. It all falls into place. So so eventually what happens with the story is that they don't kill Skytree. They spare his life because it's the right thing to do. You don't want to take a life for another life. And Granomir basically appreciates what He-Man did, and I believe he calls him very wise. I forget the exact words, what he uses. But he's very –
he's shown great mercy and great wisdom, not just mere strength.
Right. So he's very happy with what he decided to do and in turn helps him anyway. So in the end, basically he forms an alliance with Granomir. So it was the right thing to do, and it sent a really good message to the Masters fans. You know, just like at the end of every Filmation cartoon, you had a moral. So that kind of was the moral of the story. You don't take a life for another life.
Yeah. Well, how would you decide if you're He-Man, how can you give merit to one over the other? You really can't. So he was put in an impossible situation.
True.
And dealt with it the best that he could and the way that Granomir knew that he would. So yeah, man, I wanted to talk about that particular mini. I think it's one of my favorite minis.
It's very good. It's
for that reason.
Yeah. And it's very cool that they did make a cartoon out of it. So that goes to show you that it did mean a lot for the Masters, canon or however you want to say it at the time. It was very well done. And it did mean a lot. And it showed, again, the humanity of He-Man, the character of He-Man and what he portrayed. he did, you know, it just, he could have very easily killed Skytree and brought him to Grandemir. And then, you know, who knows what could have happened? Maybe Grandemir could have unleashed hell on He-Man and Teela.
Yeah. What if? What if He-Man had come lugging in Skytree?
Right.
Would have Grandemir still said, okay, man, you know, here, thank you, though, had some cool firewood?
Yeah, I mean, you know, stuff could have definitely have changed. You know, things could have definitely been different. So, in all, I think the story went well, and people, I think agree with the outcome. And again, it's an Alcala mini comic. So, you know, it might have been one of his last ones. I'm not sure.
I don't know what came after as far as his artwork. I know that when we moved into the next, actually the next is Mask of Power.
Mask of Powers. Yeah. I'm looking at that now, but it doesn't say, I can't find out who did the penciling. Or
it's Alcala. It's Mask of Power is Alcala. Yeah. Bottom left corner of the cover. Yeah, so you've got He-Man lifting up the sword.
Right.
Yes, down and, by the sword.
And again, guys, we're referencing the Dark Horse book. So again, this
absolutely
thing, this thing comes in handy so many times. So
it's the Motu Bible.
Yeah, it definitely is. And if you don't have it, seriously, go out and get it. And like Andrew said last week, I don't remember how much he said it is, but it's definitely a lot cheaper than when I bought it when it first came out. So go get the goddamn thing. You'll definitely.
You know, yeah, I mean, get it.
I mean, with this and the new book that's coming out, I believe in May, you have everything that you need, as far as material wise, and you'll be set to have everything you need to know pretty much about Masters. So
you've got to have it. I mean, it's as far as any collector, I think, will grab it, but. You know, I like having – I've also got the minis on hand. I like to keep those laying around. And I've also got, of course, the newspaper book that I'm trying to get through too. So.
Yeah. It's you know, it's just Dark Horse book is just so much better than the minis because I got the minis put away. And, you know, they're fragile and I don't want anything to happen to them. I mean, I don't have all of them. I lost a lot and a lot of them got destroyed. So – but this book is just – it's just phenomenal. It just really is. And – again, with the Dragon's Gift, it was just a great story. I'm glad that you picked it out to talk about because it's something that needed to be. It just shows a really good side of He-Man, and it worked out for him in the end, you know. And not for nothing, but the last thing he says is that he says that sometimes it's easy to forget what's right and wrong. In the face of evil, perhaps Grandemir wanted only to show us that things aren't always what they seem. The end.
Yeah, so. I like the way it ends. It's He-Man given almost an introspective thought of, you know, what just happened to him. So I really like that. And there was a couple of other little interesting things that happened throughout that telling. And there's versus what was in the Filmation line. One thing that I thought was really interesting is when Skeletor actually brings the amulet to begin with in the Filmation version, he is Theron, T-H-E-R-I-N, I'm assuming. So Theron, okay. And he is bringing a humble gift. And I thought it was interesting. He said from the loyal subjects. So how cool is that? I mean, I don't know if that's intentional in any way, but I just thought it was really cool that,
that's definitely a cool tie-in.
So that's all I've got on Dragon's Gift, man. I know we've kind of tarried on a little bit longer than what we planned on tonight. As far as having something up my sleeve, man, you guys just stay tuned. We're going to do some cool things. I wanted to do a little something this evening, but we've kind of run quick on time. So we might catch it on this next one. Definitely.
So, all right, with that being said, guys, I just want to say thanks for listening. Again, any feedback, any things you guys want to say, please go to Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. Excuse me. And until next time, guys, rock on, and we will see you next week. See you later.
See you guys. Thanks.